you know, what it aims to do is to offer that, you know, freshly prepared, healthy, hygienic, and authentic home-cooked food, which is crafted by top culinary talents, you know, open placement of the order. So whether it's you, Dirkian, whether it's me, Fatoumata, whether it's your auntie, anybody with that talent, anybody that understands that culture. So it is a platform, not just for authentic home-cooked food, but also it's a philosophy which promotes healthy eating, you know, which promotes dialogues, which promotes, you know, tradition in a world where everything is, you know, mass produced, everything is, you know, just easy, quick, and not necessarily healthy.
Welcome to Women Disrupting Tech. My name is Dirkian Lupkes, and on this podcast, I give the women who work in tech the platform they need to inspire and empower each other. Join me on a journey into the world of entrepreneurship, funding, biases, and role models to discover the strategies for success in the tech industry. In other words, how women can disrupt tech. Are you ready to listen? Hey, welcome back to Women Disrupting Tech. Thank you for listening. Today's episode is about food, connection, and bridging cultural differences. And who could be a better guide on this journey than Fatoumata Diallo? Fatoumata was born in West Africa, raised in Belgium, and she now lives in London. Plus, she's the founder of the food app Gamal. In this episode, we'll learn what Fatoumata's journey as a female founder has been like, discover how the Gamal app uses food to connect people and cultures, and learn about her plans for the future. So please welcome to Women Disrupting Tech, Fatoumata Diallo. Hey, good morning, Fatoumata. Great to have you on the podcast today. Question I always ask at the start is how you got into your current job, into your current position.
Thank you, Dirkian. First of all, let me say goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
it's an honor to be here with you on the Female Tech Disruptors podcast. And to answer your question, I'm going to have to take you back to 5 years ago when it all started. Okay. So how I got into my current job, I was actually, it's during the time when I was pursuing my master's degree, while juggling two part-time jobs, you know, seeking that extra income at the end of the month. And one of those jobs was cleaning. And, one day after a long cleaning shift, I think probably that day I was a little bit ambitious and I did three clients back to back. I returned in my house and while cooking dinner, I was completely exhausted and the idea struck me that I could apply a similar concept for food enthusiasts, because the idea that came to me, I was like, oh God, I'm so exhausted. I wish it was cooking that I was doing for these clients and not cleaning. You see, just that single thought, you know, struck me, led me to that light bulb moment. So this spark of passion evolved into a mission to create a platform which will connect cooks and foodies. Now, the idea of using innovative technology to enhance culinary experiences really fueled my passion. It was really a magical moment, like, you know, that I can do this attitude. Now, as a woman, of course, what happened is that imposter syndrome kicks in. And it led me to postpone action for the longest time I can remember, because I was in the position where I was waiting for that perfect moment, thinking and believing that I actually need more experience, more knowledge, and more money. Now, you know, being in that state of belief, now what happens is, meanwhile, I immersed myself in the corporate world. I went to work for a company that was a leader. They're probably still a leader in the change management space, you know, with FTSE 500 clients. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I've always been involved with NGOs. So I was actively engaged on the international stage, attending conferences, including the UN, the UN Commission on the Status of Women, as a young delegate, as part of the UK civil society delegation. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens is that it wasn't until COVID-19 hit in 2020 and that I was made redundant in that company together with a lot of other employees because, of course, business model changed, etc. Mm-hmm. And it's during that moment that I actually reconnected with the mission of Gamal, this idea that once came to me and that I accepted as a mission that I will do one day. So during that moment of turbulence, I reconnect to Gamal. But what happens next is more turbulence occurs in my life. And I just find myself really losing it all. In the process, I had a divorce and then I was moving house and I just happened to move many houses, etc. So that was quite a lot of turbulence. And for some good time, at least a year and a half, it was really about survival. It was only about survival. That was the only thing that really mattered to me at that time. So, which I did, of course, you know, trying to rebuild, trying to have a baseline and put myself together. So eventually I get back to work and I work for the Belgian Flemish government, really organizing part of the team that organize a royal economic mission from Belgium to the UK, which was led by the Princess of Belgium, Princess Astrid. And it was really an incredible experience.
Yeah, and, I can imagine.
Yeah, no, it was really, it's like one in a lifetime really experience. It was really amazing. And then after that, I take another job. Now, it was last year, February. Last year, February marked a pivotal moment. I was again in another phase of turbulence and it was really volatile. It was chaotic. It was very scary phase. And I just happened to lose it again. All my fears were triggered and I lost it. I just lost it again. And I found myself sitting in rock bottom, in the middle of all my fears. And then I realized that, you know, the conditions will never be perfect because I was waiting for that perfect moment.
Yeah.
And I just realized that, you know, things will never be perfect. I asked myself that question, Fatoumata, what's next? What's next? Because I could not see it coming. I could not anticipate it. It just happened to me again. And during that moment, I realized that, you know what, it's a now or never. Yeah. And during that moment, I embraced the challenges. I, you know, I was like, you know what, the green lights are never going to go green all at the same time. I'm never going to have it all. I'm never going to know it all. But what I can do, I can surely start from where I am right now.
Yeah.
And I started with a strong leap of faith, nothing but a leap of faith. And I thought I could leverage whatever experiences I had up until that point and take the steps towards realizing my culinary platform vision. So that's my answer to that opening question.
So what I hear are a lot of personal challenges. We briefly discussed before, before we started, we discussed also about you praying. How did personal challenges help you build Gamal, and how did faith help you on this journey?
That's a really great question. And how did personal challenges help me? And that's a really important question and one that I particularly like. And I want to say this, in my personal journey, I find that, you know, in the midst of challenges, Gamal really emerged as a signal, as a significant signal of commitment. Mm-hmm. Today, when I look back, I realize that it was the thread, that thread that connected every turbulent moment. You remember that I made that commitment to myself 5 years ago, standing in my kitchen and having that spark, having that light bulb. And I say to myself, yes, I will do this. Yes, I can do this. One day I will do this. And for the longest time, I just kept it locked in the drawer. So it was like all those challenges were bringing me back to the calling because, you know, for some reasons, I was just postponing it. I was, you know, thinking the better time will come. So now those challenges are actually sending me back to it because every time I hit the wall or I fall down or I ask myself that question, so what's next? And the moment I ask myself that question, the answer appears, and the answer is always related to Gamal, or it is Gamal. Like, you know, pick it up and see and move on. Do it.
It's so, a sort of thing from the signal from the universe.
Exactly. So that's exactly how I take it. I take it as a signal because I made myself that promise and I'm not doing anything about it. So now the universe is pulling me. It's trying to attract my attention. And so really the vision of Gamal brings relief because although there's all of this turbulence, all of these challenges going on, but just to think about it gives me hope, hope in the horizon. So, you know, you just mentioned something about faith. Yeah. And so Gamal really is nothing but a story of faith. And I say faith because I started from nothing. I started in the middle of turbulence, from rock bottom. Like in the middle of total insecurity, you know, job insecurity, housing insecurity, even food insecurity. But like just having that faith with me, the faith is the compass and the hope that, you know, that the light at the end of the tunnel is there. And as a passionate person, that drive is always there. But I want to say this, you know, generally, challenges always carry messages, right? Yeah. And in my case, what I can say is that it prompted me to ask the right questions and reframe my perspective, right? So what that does, it, in my case at least, it propelled me towards new beginnings, towards new chapters and new ventures, like, you know, always serving as a necessary catalyst for pivoting along the journey. So without the challenges that I faced, I wouldn't have started Gamal until now. So really, I thank the challenges that came my way because it enabled me to stop, to pause, to think and ask myself, what's next? And just asking myself that question, I was able to go back to that commitment, to that promise. Yes.
So when you finally started, what was the, out of curiosity, what was the first step you took? What was the first action that you took to come closer to realizing your goals with Gamal?
Okay. First action I took was, the idea was locked up in my mind. I had already designed, I could see in image, you know, how it would come along, what are the different pieces, what are the different requirements. I had it in my mind. Now, of course, a dream is the starting point, but you have to put it into action. Yeah. So the first step I took, I remember I wrote the date in, I'm a lady of diary. I like diarizing everything. Took one of my diaries, and for 7 days, I could not sleep. I was in that incredible moment where I could not sleep. I was extremely vulnerable, but I knew the moment is now. And the first step for me was kind of just taking a pen and write down, extract everything from my mind into that journal. What is Gamal? and whatever in really total rough, you know, with rough materials, rough ideas, just extracting it and putting it on paper. For 7 days, I continued that process because I was so much in pain. I was so much in fear. And I just had to move forward. And I couldn't sleep at night. I remember I would wake up. My body would automatically wake up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., thinking, oh, my God, you're oversleeping. What's going on here? And I look at the time. I see it's 3 a.m., but I cannot find sleep. What do I do? Take my journal and I write and I write and I write and I write and I listen to my mind and I listen to my heart until I got to that point where I feel, you know what? I'm satisfied with this. Surely not is perfect, but I can get somewhere with this. So the first step was extracting everything from my mind into a piece of paper, into my journal. And from there, the next step was clear. I knew what I needed to do. And so, you know, the steps continued until where we are today.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing this. I want to move a bit to Gamal and what it is and what it stands for. So it's I think it's an app that's connecting foodies with cooks, people who cook. But can you explain a bit more what is the vision behind Gamal and what does it mean? Does it stand for something in language?
Absolutely, absolutely. So what does Gamal stand for? What does it mean? Again, it's a journey that's starting 5 years ago when I made the commitment. Soon after, I decided that I would venture into this journey, into this adventure. Soon after, I came up with the name. But I just had, I had two rules with the name. I was looking for a name that was easy, simple, and memorable. In the like of Amazon, Facebook, Uber, like these names are very easy, simple, and memorable and are international, whichever part of the world you can remember it without any problem. So that was my first rule. And the second rule is that I would honor my roots. I would honor where I come from. So then I came up with the name Gamal. I remember exactly where I was and what I saw. I saw an ad on a bus and I was standing waiting for at the bus stop and I saw something, you know, pass me and then I had the spark again and I thought, hold on a second, there you go. And I was so so satisfied with it. So Gamal in my language, in my Fulani West African language, means it's an invitation to eat. Come and eat. Nyamal. But I thought, hold on a second, Fatumata. Nyamal or Nyamu. Someone called, for example, Dirkian, called Peter, called Mike or Julia or Khalid. It's going to be very difficult for them to pronounce it because it's very specific. So I just removed one letter and it becomes Gamal. So Gamal is an invitation. Gamal is a global dialogue. It's a call to new discoveries. So it's a call to new discoveries and dialogues between cultures, between traditions. That's the roots. That's the roots of the name. And I remember your second question was around the vision, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So really, Gamal, the whole of Gamal, what it aims to do is to offer that, you know, freshly prepared, healthy, hygienic and authentic home cooked food, which is crafted by top culinary talents, you know, open placement of the order. So whether it's you, Dirkian, whether it's me, Fatumata, whether it's your auntie, anybody with that talent, anybody that understands that culture. So it is a platform, not just for authentic home-cooked food, but also it's a philosophy which promotes healthy eating, you know, which promotes dialogues, which promotes, you know, tradition in a world where everything is, you know, mass produced. Everything is, you know, easy, quick, and not necessarily healthy. But so this is the whole philosophy around it. Yes.
So does it, if you look at the food apps, there's all kinds of delivery apps like Uber Eats and Deliveroo, which has a different name in the Netherlands, by the way. But this is not about the delivery, right? This is really about the authentic meals, the local recipes that you can share.
Absolutely. I think you've said it so perfectly. I have nothing to add to that. It's not about the delivery. Forget the delivery. The delivery is just a meme. It's it's the process from getting the meal to the customer. But really, it is about authenticity. It is about the local. It is about the health. It is about the dialogue. It is about the connection. That's what it is about. Yeah. Yes.
So how does your multicultural background help you then with in constructing this? Because you're from African heritage. You were raised in Belgium, if I'm not mistaken. You now live in the UK. That's I don't think it gets more multicultural than that. But how does that help you foster this philosophy?
So how does my multicultural background helps me as a founder of Kamau?
Yeah.
As you said, I have had the chance to live in multiple countries, oftentimes with total different cultures, very different traditions. You know, my West African culture is very different to the culture of Belgium. And then when I later come to the UK, you know, English and Francophone are also very different in so many ways, but that also comes with a lot of valuable lessons that I'm able to apply today. And beyond those three countries where I have lived the most, I've had the chance to move around a little bit and discover other cultures. So that naturally, puts me in a position where I'm able to bring a lot of diversity and bringing that deep belief in the tradition of sharing food across communities, which I learned firsthand while growing up in Guinea, for example, where I was born, where this is common, very common, sharing food with the community, like being as one, the Ubuntu philosophy, I am because you are, and because you are, therefore I am. So, that oneness. And it really enables also to connect people through the power of food, fueled by the genuine love for diverse cuisines. As I said, it's a dialogue. So really this, as you know, me, my curiosity about the world, and you couple that with the passion for discovering new experiences, really enriches Kamau in so many ways. And yes.
Is that also something you want to offer to your customers? Really the opportunity to discover new kinds of foods, and but then in a healthy way?
Absolutely.
Good. I want to move on a bit because you're still in the startup stage, I think. But where are you right now? Are you looking for investors? Are you launch? When is the app going to, or the I assume it's an app. When is it going to launch?
Okay. So yes, so we, as you said, we are a startup and very, very early stage startup. Mm-hmm. And we are in the phase where we are looking for investors. Indeed, we're looking for investors that are, both purpose-driven and impact-driven, which is really in line with who we are as a brand. We're looking for investors that are looking to make impact the world over, and that are, creating a real change, a real movement, a real connection with people, fostering, sharing. We are about to launch our first vertical in the food delivery this year in the UK. And, you know, as we go through the years, there will be more verticals to come in the near future, and some of which will be backed up with patents, and some of which will be the first time to be incorporated, like with, you know, food applications.
Mm-hmm. What kind of, so you're looking for impact investors? Do they have to come from the UK, or could it be like, let's say, a Dutch or an American impact investor?
So we live in the globalized world, and we need to work with talent and stakeholders from all around the world. So those investors, as long as we align in terms of vision, impact, you know, whether they're from the Netherlands or Germany or Belgium or the UK or the USA or any other part of the world. What's important to us is that, you know, they're committed and we can build a relationship. It is, after all, a relationship. We are venturing into an adventure, into a journey together. And we're heading towards that vision together. So as long as we are aligned in terms of vision and where we're heading, and so, you know, where they come from doesn't really matter.
Okay. So you told me that you're going to launch your first vertical this year in the UK. Do you have any expansion plans, let's say, for instance, to Belgium or maybe even to Africa?
So naturally, so as you said, first of all, you know, we are going to be UK focused at first, and it's very important to go deep and wide into that market. And you know, after the first 2 years, then we will review, and from there we will decide on the international expansion and where to go from there. But eventually, it will be everywhere. It will be everywhere. It will be will be everywhere. That's the whole that's the whole big vision.
So then you really unite global food foodies and people with local recipes.
Fantastic. Yeah? Oh my God, you really are gifted in the way you summarize it. You said it perfectly.
Thank you. So I have this arrangement with Jacqueline van der Ende. She's one of my previous guests. She's the founder of a climate tech, climate tech investment startup in the Netherlands called Carbon Equity. And when we spoke, she gave me the task to make this podcast obsolete in 10 years from that moment, which is under 9 years from now. So if you were given that task, not Gamal, but to make the podcast irrelevant, so diversity, equity, and inclusion in tech is a normal thing, how would you go about this? What would you, in other words, what would you recommend me to do?
Brilliant. So first of all, you know, I salute Jacqueline van den Ende. I hope I pronounced her name correctly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do like the challenge that she put on the table for you, for us, you know, to make, you know, this very important topic irrelevant 10 years from now. Yeah. Now, in my attempt to answer this question, you know, in envisioning a future where diversity, equity, and inclusion, for example, let me make it a bit relevant to the tech space, because that's the space where I'm trying to play in at the moment, to make it, you know, considered as a norm. So perhaps I can suggest a couple of approaches to that. So let's just picture this, just a little bit putting it in a rationale. 10 years from now, we live in the post-SDG era. So the SDG, so with the sustainable, the UN Sustainable Development Goals being concluded, we will enter, let's say we enter an era where foundational work has set the stage for more inclusive tech landscape. So now a couple of things. The first one that's coming to my mind is the importance of having abundance of role models.
Yeah.
Why is that important? Is having abundance of role models, we are ensuring that diverse voices, such as myself, mm-hmm. and particularly women and ethnic minorities, I happen to tick all those boxes, are prominently showcased, and this will inspire others, other women, other young boys, other anyone from any part of the world to step forward. So that's the first thing I want to say in terms of approach, is like the importance of role models.
Yes.
The next one, I've got actually a couple. The next one would be, being able to go beyond stereotypes. And the reason I'm saying this is really important to have strong foundations to uplift individuals beyond stereotypes based on, gender, race, or color. For example, addressing the current imbalances. I think the first time we spoke, we shared this this common about the funding going to female, which is very alarming, about 2% going of VC venture capital funding going to women. Like, this is such huge disparities and such a shame. It is completely appalling that, it is the case in the 21st century. So, really working actively to change that narrative is very important. Mm-hmm. And then having also, educational narratives. So, I think it's very important to transform today's battles into the stories of motivation for the future generation. So, imagine, for example, a time when overcoming gender and racial barriers in the tech is taught in schools, just like the historical suffragette movement, the suffragette movement, which happened about 100 years ago, which led the way for women, the right, earning the right to vote for women. So we can do the same for equity and diversity, etc., like really turning it into battles of victories to share in the future. And a couple of more, but maybe we don't have time to go into all of them, but like really empowering female founders, actively supporting and empowering female founders, encouraging them to come forward with their ideas. That's very, very important. And, dismantling all those barriers and providing resources is really important, to have those resources and networks in place, because it will pave the way for a more inclusive entrepreneurial a landscape. I strongly believe that, Dear Kian, by implementing, some of these strategies together with others, of course, we will be working towards a future where diversity and inclusion are tied into the scape, to the space of the tech industry. The world then 10 years from now, there will be no need, this topic will not need much attention, because it will be irrelevant.
Yeah, it's history, really history by then.
It will be a piece of history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what role do you think Gamal could play in that? I mean, so, the connections are made over food mostly. And food is, at least to me, it's the ultimate way to share experiences.
You really have that gift, Dear Kian. It's like you're really reading in my mind. So, food is the first step to winning hearts and connecting people.
Yeah.
Food is a powerful tool to connecting people, connecting communities, and breaking boundaries and building bridges. So through food, we are doing that. And, by making Gamal reality, automatically you are becoming a powerful role model that a lot of people can relate to, right? So people would maybe look at it and say, you know what, if this lady, despite all the challenges she faced, if she can, you know, do this and deliver and make it, you know, what it is today, then surely I can do it too. So, you know, through these different ways, definitely we are contributing in that dialogue, and we are contributing in changing that narrative and shaping and paving the way for others to follow.
That sounds like a great place to close the conversation, Fatoumata. Thank you. Really enjoyed this. Last question. Where can listeners learn more about you and about Gamal?
Great. So one can learn more about us from our website, www.gamal.co.uk. And I do invite, you know, anyone to who come on our website to visit our blog. We do have a blog which we passionately, you know, every week we share we do a deep dive in a country, and we share about their cultural food. And so it's an invitation to voyager, as we say in French. And we are also present in every social media platform, including LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. So I would encourage, you know, for the listeners of the podcast to take a, to look us on the social media. And also, you know, they can write to us via email, which we will happily reply to, of course.
Okay. And we'll, of course, include those links, all of them in the show notes. So Fatoumata Diallo, really thank you very much for this conversation. And listeners, thank you very much for listening. And I hope to see you in the next episode. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thank you for listening to the special episode of Women Disrupting Tech. Fatoumata and I hope that you've enjoyed our conversation as much as we did. You can learn more about Gamal and connect with Fatoumata via the links in the show notes. And as usual, you can find the show notes at womendisruptingtech.blog. On the same website, you can also become a member of the Women Disrupting Tech community. If you're a member, you get exclusive access to Women Disrupting Tech events, and you are the first to learn when new episodes and blogs come online. For your weekly dose of Women Disrupting Tech inspiration, you can follow the podcast on Spotify, Apple, and GoodPods. And if you do, please don't forget to give the show a rating or a review, because that way you help other people discover the podcast. If you want to help Fatoumata and other women in tech make this podcast obsolete in 9 years from now, there's a simple thing you can do. Please share the podcast with friends, family, and co-workers, because this way you give Fatoumata and my other guests the platform they need to make it happen. Finally, if you want to connect with me, you can reach me via dirkjan@womendisruptingtech.blog, or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn. Just look up my name and you'll find me. With that, I wish you a wonderful day, and I hope to see you in the next episode.